hear from everybody every day, but it's a practical problem, but definitely interesting. Okay, so let's just go through the Gemara. We're just going to do this Gemara and Sama Kesa Beis, and then after that, after this Sugya, as I said, we're moving back to the next Mishnah, though, on Ayin Amud Aleph. But let's just do this. It's an interesting little topic that comes up here. It's worth a little bit of attention. In case we don't get to Ephraim's part, Ephraim asked me to say something about the first Sugya in Horios as well, connected to that. So I don't know if we'll get to it today. If we get to it today, we get to it today. If not, then since he requested, so if we don't get to it today, just look at the first Gemara in Horios. There the Gemara talks about, in the context of Parhalim Davar Shel Tzibor, what is a Horos Bezdin, right? Is it Mutarim Lecha or Mutarim Lecha Laasos, which is similar to our problem. It is a good parallel. We'll discuss for a few minutes whether it's a different din or not. But if we don't get to it today, so just look at the Shaka Vatari, the Gemara there, and the Rambam in Perek Yud Beis Hilchos Shkogos Halacha Beis and Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Aleph, and also the Tosis and Tosis Arash on the Gemara there, and if you get a chance, also on the Rashash and Mitzvah Eson on that Gemara in Horios. Okay, again, maybe we'll get to today. Michael was going to read for us. Go ahead. That's the Gemara here in Samaches. On the base, this little Shaka Vatari. Okay. You're.
Where should I start from?
Where do you want to start from? Since you're reading, I'm leaving it up to you. By some of the base. But we really know the Masechta doesn't really, the parak doesn't really begin on Samach Beis anyway, right? It begins in Parshas Vayeschanan, I think. Or Yisro. Okay. Okay. Go ahead. Mikado Shom Rav Yochan Gezer Zerunun. Right? Amri Hud Amri Kitznuin. Go ahead. Oh, no, sorry. Vari Chazer Karen Labailam. I have to write that down. What's the case? Okay, you could start earlier. What is the case here? Gana v'hikdish v'achakach. You know what? Just read the case first. Esrei b'rach l'ishlach. Gana v'hikdish v'achakach tabach. Mishalim tashul mei kefal. Right? Okay, so we have a case where because it's hekdesh, he was makdish after the geneva, so there is kefal, but there's no tashul mei dalad v'hei. That's what the Gemara is working with. That's the case. Okay. So the Gemara originally thought to analyze what's going on here, right? Meaning the ganav cannot be makdish since it's not shalom. This is not even Rabbi Yochanan. This isn't Dana Bershuso. This is Dana Shalom. Right, so that doesn't seem to be correct. El Pshit, that's got to be Lacha Yehush. Okay, so this is where the Gemara introduces this this issue. And the Gemara says, Hakam Eiskinan. Okay, so that's a whole different read on the case. Instead of the ganav being the makdish, it is the bailim who are makdish the chayfets after the geneva, and that's what gets us into Rabbi Yochanan and Tznuin. Correct? Okay, go ahead. Okay, good. So that's the background. The background is, this is going to be Shitas HaTznuin against Rabbi Yochanan, that the Bailim, even though it's Eder Breshuso, can be Makdish the Kefet. So what happened here again? There was a Gneva. The Gneva triggers a Chiyuv Kefel. Then the Bailim are Makdish the Kefet, and since they're Makdish the Kefet, there's no Arba the Chamisha. That's the case of the Gemara. So now the Gemara is going to challenge this a little bit. Go ahead. Now we're where we want to be. Bahrei.
Oh,
so this already, this in itself is just a bit of a chiddush, because we don't encounter this this idea anywhere else. What does it mean, Bahrei Chazuk Karen
Lebailin? Since he was able to be machdish, so
in a way, when he's machdish it, he reasserts his control over the Karen, in the sense at least that he is now dictating the destiny of the Karen, right? He's putting it to use where he wants it to be. He's being Makdashid. So he's recovered his Karen, and since he's recovered his Karen, Barichazra, Karen the Bailim, so somehow that eliminates Kefa. Correct? Okay, so that this is a new halacha that we've never encountered before. Which is that somehow, if the Bailim get their hands on the Karen, right, it doesn't come through Bezdin, but they get their hands on it on their own, that somehow that eliminates Kefa. That's a very mechudash. Let's look at Rashi for a second. Oh, that's Rashi's interpretation. The kefa lo mechayev, again one more time. Yeah, shebo edim. So basically, the Rashi makes it, there's a chasuv out of it. Emi matzei ti matzei biyado, ad she lo mechayev elik shenimtzeis biyad ha-ganav. I mean, there is some, the Rashi is trying to explain a halacha that exists in the Gemara that doesn't really have sufficient explanation elsewhere, right? This Gzeres HaKasuv we don't know about, this halacha we don't know about until this line of the Gemara, and that's how Rashi interprets it. The question is, what is the nature and character of this halacha, and is there really such a halacha? So number one, we should note that the Rambam does not quote this halacha anywhere. Right? As far as the Rambam is concerned, there is no such halacha. It's not brought down in Hilchos Geneva. Moreover, and maybe this is linked, did you get a chance to look at the Rabbeinu Hananel in the Yos Hargonim? No? Anybody? On Chazuk Karen Lebailin? Nobody got a chance to see it? The way the Rabbeinu Hananel reads the Gemara, Chazar Karen Lebailim is not a special halakha at all. Chazar Karen Lebailim is just a way. You saw it, Barto? Go ahead. It's a way of saying there's no kefal on hektish because of Reacha. Now that's a huge chiddush too. Do you have the language there by any chance? No. But if you look up the Ben Chananel, that's what he says. Now that is a huge chiddush too. Why?
Because the Maisa Geneva was on that chiddush of Chulin.
Exactly. The Maisa Geneva was done in a chiddush Shul Chulin. Presumably that triggered the kefel. So what did later on he's makdish the object? What does that have to do with anything? Why should that eliminate the kefel? But it's a din of reyacha. Reyacha applies to kefel as well. It's also kiddush. Well, that it applies to kefel la'achar. Now, of course, this should be integrated with the Rashi Pnei Yoshua. And our own little contribution of before, namely, this whole question of reyacha in kefel in dalad vehei in this case is problematic. Where the previous Rashi said in mishalim dalad vehei daki tavach dehekdesh tavach v'rei omrachmana yishalim shneim l'rei v'lo lehekdesh v'kivin depatre mekefel sulo mechayev betvicha u'mechira detashlum yarba v'chamish omrachmana v'lo shlosh v'yarba. So the Pnei Yeshua asked the question. Right, but what are you talking about? In this case, there is kefel. There's kefel for the Maisa Geneva. Of course, if you'd done a Maisa Geneva on a chefetz shel hekdesh, that would have been a problem of reyacha. But you didn't do that. You did a Maisa Geneva on a hedyot, and now you are makdish it. Right. So what does that have to do with the kefel? So if there is kefel, then there's dalet v'hei. Right. Moreover, one would should have said, says the Pnei Yeshua, a different pshat, and that is the kefel of the hedyot doesn't relate to the dalad vehei of the hektesh. That's the pshat. So we discussed this already. I think it's an important issue. But the Rebbeinu Chananel, I think I mentioned it the first time that we discussed this, Pnei Yeshua and Rashi, when we were talking way back when we were talking about Kefil and Dalet Vehe, I mentioned this Rebbeinu Chananel. According to Rebbeinu Chananel, in the continuation of the Gemara Chazor, Keren Labailim, what it really means is this halacha, namely that the Kefil is impacted by the subsequent Hekdesh. Now again, if the Mechayev of Kefil is the act of Gneva, it's hard to see how the subsequent Hekdesh is going to have any impact on that. But if Kefil is generated by Gemar Din, and the rest of it are just Tanoim B'Alma, then it's possible to say that by the time it comes to be Mechayev of the Kefil, the fact is that that the Chevetz HaGanuv is Re'acha V'lo Shel Hekdesh, even if it wasn't that at the time of the Maisa Gneva, but the Maisa Gneva isn't the trigger or Mechayev of Kefil at all. It's the, you know, Bezdin's Chiyuv based on certain conditions. So that would work nicely. It would solve some of the Pnei Yeshua Rashi issues, maybe. But in addition, it would prove that the Mechayev of Kefil is not the Maisa Gneva that it shares with Karen. Yeah?
Is it possible that the final that the Gemara Rechaz Karen Levayel and Gemara Vez on a conceptual level, meaning Rechaz Karen Levayel, only Karen is conceptually the Levayel deserves it, but Kefil, he's just the address.
Rechaz or Karen Levayel? I mean, all there is Karen, not...
Conceptually, and as far as Kefil, he's just the address, and I said that's like another way of saying it's yours based in.
I think it has to be the words you're asking.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's saying, well, at minimum he's reading the words, Hari Chazor Karen Labayel. I mean, there's nothing to collect here. The Karen has already been retrieved by him through his act of Hekdesh. And as for Kefil, like Dalet Vehei, that's Re'acha V'lo Shel Hekdesh. Right, how do you want to say it? You want to say that that it's a conceptual explanation?
Right, he's saying that conceptually, Hari Chazor, meaning when in the world of Karen and Kefil, only Karen conceptually is Labayel.
Harechaz or Karen, I'm not sure how you read
it.
We have to refine it, yeah. Yeah, I think what he's saying is Harechaz or Karen Labailim. The only outstanding thing to claim is the Karen, and that's done already. As for the cave, it's more Ikar Chosim and a Sefer, I agree. But what motivated Rabbeinu Chananel is like, where does this halacha come from? Harechaz or Karen Labailim. What Gemara, what Makar ever told us that there's some halacha that if Chaz or Karen Labailim, that affects the Kefil? So that's the point is that Rebbeinu Chananel's chiddush in reading this Gemara is to apply Re'acha v'lo shel Hekdesh even to Hekdesh la'achar ma'isa gneva le'inyan kefal. That's a significant chiddush. But at the same time, what he avoids saying is that there's a real halacha of Chazra Karen Labayla. If you hold like Rashi, so again, Rashi came up with Xeris HaKasuv. Rashi understood that I think Rashi is confused over the Gemara. That the Gemara is saying that there's some link between Kefil and the actual Tashlumin of Karen. If there's no Tashlumin of Karen, but there is simply no Hashava of Karen, because he retrieves it on his own, so there's no Kefil. Now, but what is that based on? So number one, it could be Xeris HaKasuv, like he says, he might say that Kefil. In fact, I think we saw when we talked about Kefil again and that whole sugya, I think we saw in the footnotes to the Rajba, the old Rajba even, you know, which didn't have too many footnotes, but even in that one, in the Rajba in Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed Dalid, right when the Rajba talks about the sugya of Kefil being makna dov shelo bali olam and so on. So the Rajba there talked about, you know, whether the Kefil is generated by the Gneva or later. So the little note there says, the Mechayiv of Kefil is im himatzei biyado. After all, that's the din of Chazra Karen Labailin. Okay. So that is, so it could just be Xeris HaKasuv, or it could be that this is the Mechayiv. The Mechayiv of Kefil is im himatzei timatzei biyado. If it's not im himatzei timatzei biyado, then there's nothing else to, there's no Mechayiv of Kefil. That's different than saying Amad Abedin, it's different than saying Maisa Gneva. Wow. Or, I think alternative to that is to say, something based on something that we've talked about a lot, and that is, to what extent is the Kefil connected to the Karen? in the sense that not the chiyuv, not the mechayiv, but the kiyum atashlumin. To what extent do we view, there's a little bit of an additional kiddush here, the kefel is part of this tashlume keren, and by extension, when there is tashlume keren, there is tashlume kefel as well, as we discussed. So if that's true, it's not just a number based on the keren, but it's really a din and an extending tashlumen to kefel, right, which we had a lot of rayas for, whether it's the Tosas Ritz formulation or others. So then the point is, whenever there's no tashlume keren, there's no tashlume kefel. And here there really isn't tashlume keren at all. He retrieves it on his own, but there's no tashlume. So from that point of view, there's no kefel. Now it's interesting, the Rashash has a safek here. You saw it?
Yeah.
What's a safek? Very good. Yeah, I told you to look at it, right?
With Rashi.
Yeah, but he's not sure. He says Rashi isn't going to help you so much. But well, what's the suffix? What case, Ben?
Well, we'll get
that in a second about Amud B'Din. But right, you see, that's why he proves it or disproves it. But he wants to know about the following case: what will happen if what? Let's say you weren't Maxir, but you were, let's say Edim came. And that's the case that he has, right? Let's say Edim come to court,
right,
and they already testified before the Gemar Din, they already testified about the Chiyuv. Will that be the equivalent of Chazra Karen the Bailim and you'll be Potter Mekefel, or no? That's the Safek of the Rashash, right? So he says, from Rashi, it would appear that this is not the equivalent of Chazra Karen the Bailim. He says, but you know, in terms of the Gemara, you know, maybe it would work. He's not sure. So he says, how come the Gemara didn't say, you know, that we're talking about a case of La'achar Shebo Edim instead of a case of La'achar Sh'amar Ploni or Chayv Atalite? Yeah.
According to Rashash, if Edim come and testify that somebody that Ploni has.
Ploni's a Ganav.
The Ganav has somebody else's shore, so that means that. He came to Chayav Kefel
for that? That's what he's wondering.
But then when would you ever have a
Chayav Kefel? If the guy was Machzir.
Before the
Edom came. Right? After the Edom came, before that. That's a sign. Anybody have the language of the Rashash? What's that? Go ahead.
Right.
Ever,
oh, yeah.
Yehuda, go ahead. Yeah. So he says he's mistopic about that point, and he says Rashi seems not to hold that way. Why? Because Rashi says im he matzei. Rashi makes it into zeres hakasa. I'm just trying to show you how tenuous this halacha is. Like it's right here, but like where did it come from? And so the Ram didn't quote it. The Rabbeinu Chananel reread it completely, even though it's bedochak, right? It's so bedochak that Baruch Dov hasn't yet figured out the exact way that he's going to read the words, unless it just means that all there is Karen and there isn't in Karen, right? So, you know, Rashi came up with the Zeres HaKasav. So according to Rashi, this is a din and yimatzei. It's not going to apply to the case of Edim. The Rashash is wondering about it. Well, why is the Rashash even wondering about Edim? Well, what's the basis for that? Because once the Edom come, it's almost like a kind of mode of Iknas, but it isn't mode of Iknas, really. It's more that till that point things are I guess iffy. The Din Torah hasn't moved along enough, and you can kind of preempt. You can undo the whole thing. That's kind of, that's more of the class is really a poter. This isn't that, but the idea seems to be, just like a Chari Chazer Karen the Bailim, it's, you know, the Bailim have preempted the whole, you know, due process, I guess. And without the due process, there's no kefo. So here too, you know, if the guy gives it back at that point, you know, what's the dividing line? That's not the Chatan Rashi. that line of the Rajba of in the you know footnotes of the Rajba and Bamitzia wouldn't work with that. I'm not sure, you know. So it is, it's a kind of moda, but it isn't really a moda, not technically moda b'knas. But according to what I was saying a minute ago, it also wouldn't work. What I was saying a minute ago was that the idea of kefel is double keren, and in the context of tashlume keren, there is tashlume kefel. And the whole point of Kozer Keren the Bailim is that he has usurped this, right? So he, you know, he's taken it back by himself in a way. So since that's the case, that wouldn't apply to that would have, the Edom have no impact on that issue either. Okay. Anyways, this is I think an important issue. Kozer Keren the Bailim, whether you hold like Rashi or the Rach and the Rambam, or you hold like Safik and this Rashash, or whether it's a din in Tashlumi HaBe'en, or Tashlumi HaKefel, a Karen, the connection to the Karen itself. Okay. I should have said one other point, and that is in addition to Tashlumin of the... Did you want to say something?
Yeah. Can you reply between what the Rashash is saying and Chazer Keren HaBe'en, because Chazer Keren HaBe'en is an issue of... Especially taking Rashi's side, the issue of going back, reverting to Rashash. Even what the Rashash is saying, it's still a form of Tashlumin.
Yeah, that's why I think that's what I'm saying. I was saying that the Rashash I don't think would work according to Rashi. So I think according to Rashi, whether it's im he matzei, or it's this idea of tashlumin, as opposed to you know getting it back on your own and not being kim tashlumin, I think that neither of these cases you know would be neither of these perspectives would allow for you to substitute the impact of Hava Seid. I think the Rashash is wondering whether or not this is the equivalent of Chazer Keren L'Bailim. I mean, that's his suffix, isn't it? He wants to know whether or not, if you have the Edim and then the guy returns the money, whether the Bechiv Kefal or not, whether that eliminates Chazer Keren L'Bailim or not. And he's also talking about Rashash is also talking about the ganav returning the money. That's another assumption of the Rashash. Those are two issues in the Rashash. Number one, where at what point can you no longer say a Chazer Keren L'Bailim? Only at the point of Chayva Talitain? That's question number one. Or even earlier, at the point of Hava Seidim? That's one question. Question number two is, the case of the Gemara of Chazer Keren L'Bailim is a case where the Bailim themselves take the initiative and they grab back their object. That might be very different than the ganav returning the object at an earlier point. The Rashash is assuming that the ganav returning the object is a problem of Chazer Keren L'Bailim. Now that may be true for Rashi. That point may be true for Rashi. If it's im himatzei yimatzei biado, according to what I was suggesting, which was the real problem of Chazer Keren L'Bailim is that kefel has to come in a context where there's a chiyuv and there's an actual kiyum atashlumim of Keren. If there's no kiyum atashlumim, but there just isn't tashlumim because he took matters in his own hand and got it back himself, why should that affect kefel? It has nothing to do with that halach. Right. Yeah?
Would the Rashash be assuming that the chayav of the kefel is the
I think that's part of the... That's why what Joe said, which is it's a... You know, are we looking at this as a kind of almost like a parallel to moda b'knas patur? I think that's what we mean. Yeah. I guess in light of our discussion of the Rambam and Reb Chaim and all that at the time, then it's very possible that I guess especially if there are two psukim, one is Reacha and then is Begudav Mibes Ishlo Mibes Hekdesh, it's very possible. But I think it's possible to say both ways, but I think it is a logical hint. Okay. So we have a little discussion of Chazra Keren L'Bailim, which is important. One of the perspective, and that is if we say that Chazra Keren L'Bailim is connected to the Be'en, that's another, in addition to saying that it's connected to the Kiyum Tashlumin of the Keren, again, we saw a lot of evidence earlier in the year that Kefel isn't just a sum, but the kefel is connected to the be'en hanigzal, or hanignav rather. Again, darshin mesuyam. We've discussed your absence extensively, in a horio sense as well. A davarshena mesuyam, the havamina of negidim, many other rayas that kefil is connected. Kefil isn't just an amount again, but it's connected to replicating, or in the case of kefil, really duplicating the be'en. So again, I think another perspective of Chazra Karen Lebailin might be in addition to the question of Kiyum Tashlumin, the second that the Bailin themselves retrieve the ban, and separate from the process of the due process of Bezdin, the second that happens, it's no longer considered a Bein Aganuv anymore. And once it's not a Bein Aganuv, there's no Kefil. I think that is also possible, and it could be Nafkamina. There could be Nafkamina there as well. Okay. So much for Chazer Karen Lebailin, the halacha. Continue, Michael. Now we'll get back to the main point, which is, so the Gemara says, Chazer Karen Lebailin, in this case, there should be no kefel, because the Chazer Karen Lebailin, for whatever reason, right, is valid. Okay, so what's the answer? Kishamad bid. So now we come to our real topic for the day, which is Kishamad bidin, which with basically the Gemara's way of saying, once there is Amida bidin, then Chazra Karen Labailim, whatever that means, no longer works. No longer works for Benu Hananel, I guess. There's no longer a Ptur of Reacha. Now that makes one kind of sense. We'll get back to that in a second. There's no longer a Ptur of Reacha. And according to the other Rishonim, whether it's Rashi, Imhimatzei, it's already Imhimatzei. According to Rashi, we'll say. According to us, again, the retrieval after Kishamad Bedin doesn't eliminate the Be'en, Le'in and Davarzeh, or the Tashlumei Karen, Le'in and Davarzeh, and so on. Okay, it's not preempted, pretty much, if it's Achar Amida Bedin. Okay? Now we have to explain why that is, but we'll that's what the Gemara seems to be saying. Okay, except it's more complicated, as the Gemara explains. Go ahead. Hey, Chidami. So this is the complication. Namely, the Gemara is now saying that if we're talking about a Gemara din of Tzei Tainlo, so there can never be, that's the cutoff point for Tvicha U'mechir. Once you have Tzei Tainlo, it's not Chayv Dalad Behei, it becomes, as Rashi puts it, Gezela rather than Geneva. Correct? Okay. So if that's true, so then we don't need the whole scenario of Hikdisho. So obviously that can't be the Pshat in the Braisa. So rather, what does it have to be? So right, so then again, so, but if this is part of the Gemara's question, if it's Tzeitainlo, it should be it doesn't make sense. So what do we mean by Hamada Bedin, which works for Chazer Karen Lebailin? So go ahead. So the answer is, you're right, you gave us the answer here itself. Namely, it's not Tzeitainlo, and therefore there is, per se, a Chiv Tvicha U'mechira. It's enough of a continuation of Geneva, in other words. However, it is enough of a Hamada Bedin to preclude Chazra Karen Lebailin. So if you just read this Gemara alone and didn't read any other Gemara, Michael, so you would be perplexed, you would be happy. What would your response be? Just reading the Shakla Vitaria.
I guess I'd be surprised.
Okay. Could you elaborate?
What
would be the nature of your surprise, the content of your surprise?
I wonder what the difference would be
between
Tzei Tainlo and Chayv Dalad Behei.
Okay, number one, what is it? In other words, an miman of shach, is this a gemar din or is it not a gemar din? What does it mean that it's a hamada bedin le'inan chazer karen lebailim, but it's not hamada bedin le'inyan tvicha u'mechira? Okay, what kind of compromise is that? Right, miman of shach, is it hamada bedin or not? Okay, so obviously you have to come to one of three conclusions, right, Michael? What are those three conclusions?
So I have one is that there's an in-between stage.
Okay. Or okay. Well, I guess I'll know what that means depending on what the other two are. Yeah. Go ahead. What do you mean an in-between stage? In between what and what?
I guess in between where the in between. I guess before they. Before they give you the
tzivoy
to give it back to the...
Before there's something. What is that? What is that?
That is, they made their decision, but they haven't...
So it sounds like what you're saying is that it sounds in this Gemara like there are two concepts of Gemara Din, or two Amada B'Dins, two stages in the Din. And then, of course, the question becomes, okay, so what does that mean? What does that signify? What does that correspond to, and why are certain halakhas dependent upon one and the others and the other? What's the alternative? What are the other two possibilities? Well, we'll make it easy. According to the other two possibilities, again, I'm just talking about structurally for the moment, there's only one Gemar Din. Okay, if there's only one Gemar Din, so you either have to say that what? If there's only Gemar Din, the question, which is it, right? So let's say the second one, the Tzei Tein Lo, is the real Gemar Din. So you have to say there are certain halachos where even though there's no Gemar Din, right, but once you know Lehechan Adin Nota, that's enough. That's enough to be Koveya. Okay, even though it isn't officially a Gemar Din, but there are certain halachos where we're knowing what the outcome is going to be, even if it isn't formally declared, is enough. Okay, or the opposite, which is... The actual Gemar Din would be Kaiva Talitain, and that's why that's Kovei Legabe Chazra Karen Lebailin. But there are certain halachos for which Gemar Din is not enough, for which you need even more than Gemar Din. And that's where you need, say, Tainla. Okay. So these are three alternatives. Just when you read that, even if you had no other sugya, you're just reading this Gemara, this is the most challenging Gemara.
You need the sugya Bitsua.
Why? I mean, even in this Gemara, you have two Hamad of Bedins. That's my point. We'll get to Bitsua in a minute. Bitsua enriches our discussion, as does other Gemaras, but I'm just saying, this is the Gemara. Of all the Gemaras, this is the one that already clues us into the fact that there's a problem, there's an issue here. That Gemar Din isn't so easy to define, because it seems like Le'inyan Chazer Karen Le'Bailim, we have one definition, and Le'inyan concluding so that there cannot be a further Tzvicha Mechira, we have another definition. So the three were, we have two concepts of Gemar Din, which we'll have to explain. We have one concept of Gemar Din, it's Tzei Tein Lo, but sometimes knowing what's coming is enough, even if it isn't formalized. The third alternative is, the one Gemar Din is the early one, it's the Chayev Atalitein, right? But for some halachos, the Gemar Din isn't enough. There has to be something more. We'll explain what that something more is in a minute. Yeah.
Doesn't the Gemara use the term Sha'ama B'Din? Seem like we're looking for something a little less final?
Sometimes the Gemara doesn't use the word, that's true. But the Gemara has that in either case, the Gemara says. But the Gemara here says, Kisha'ama B'Din.
Then it would say, maybe Kisha'omid
B'Din. The Gemara says, Kisha'ama B'Din. And then the Gemara says, Hey Chadami. Whatever, right? And then the Gemara says, "Oh, the answer is Chayav Atalitain." So the Gemara itself here has two possible explanations for the term Hamad B'Din. Now, other Gemaras do use the word Gemar Din. That's true. But I'm saying it's already interesting. If you only had this Gemara, has two explanations, two translations of what Hamad B'Din means.
It seems from the Raivad and the Shita, not in the independent Raivad, but in the Raivad and the Shita, it seems like it's different gears in the Gemara of Shagamar again.
Not Kashama Abedin? Abedin? Okay, yeah. Could be. Could be. Maybe that would help. Right, that could help. Yeah.
According to the explanations we just gave the Chazal of Chazal Karen Lavala, especially the Rashi's explanation, don't really seem to indicate anything about a Gemara there at all. It just says that there were Edim.
No. Rashi says, again, the Rashash discusses Edim. The simple pshat is that the issue isn't Edim, it's. Which Rashi mean? Mikshamet Bedin, Shabo Edim, Kodim Shikdushu.
And the Rashi before that.
The Rashi was just Shabo Edim, that's
already Amad Bedin. Yeah, okay. I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, Rashi means only Bo Edim. I mean, that's again one of the things that impelled the Rashash's discussion. But you can easily read Rashi, meaning the Edim, and according to the Gemara, the Chayav Atalitein Lo, which accompanies it, took place already, or the Tzeitein Lo. If you want to be medayik in Rashi, that he means only Edim, which is what the Rashash was suggesting, maybe you could say that. But I don't think, based on the context of the Gemara that Rashi's interpreting, I think it's hard to say that. Yeah?
There is a fourth logical possibility, which is that neither of the stages...
Okay,
the
I mean, well, why would... that's pretty perverse.
we might have evidence from other Gemaras.
Okay, so we'll see. I'm just saying, in this Gemara, the Gemara has... I don't want to make too much of it, because we have to get to the other Gemaras, but the Gemara just says Hamad Abedin. The Gemara says, what is Hamad Abedin? Seitein Lo. That's not going to work out. The Gemara says, oh, you're right, it isn't. Hamad Abedin means Chayav Atalita. So why, it could be based on other Gemaras, but I'm saying based on the sugya here, it would be perverse to say that neither of these is Hamad Abedin. Now, right, I mean, Elichai's point, which is this Hamad Abedin? Are we interested in defining Hamad Abedin or Gemara Din? Fine, that could be. There could be a difference between Hamad Abedin and Gemara Din. But... whatever this is here, whatever the girsa is that the Gemara is talking about, whether it's Hamad Abedin or Gemara Din, definitely the Gemara is suggesting two possible alternatives, and for different dinim, we know that it applies. Now let's look at the other Gemaras. So what are the other Gemaras? So Bam Metzia and Sanhedrin. Bam Metzia Yud Zayin. And what's the Gemara there about?
Is that the Bishara one, or is that Sanhedrin?
No, Sanhedrin's up. Sure, you can start with the Sanhedrin one, if you want. I'll give you the text.
Okay.
Here, go ahead. Thank you. Oh, you have it? Oh, okay. Go ahead. What's the Gemara talking about? Pshar. Right, the Gemara wants to know, what are the rules? When do you say Yikav Adin Sahar, Din, and when do you say Pshar? Correct? That's what that whole Gemara is about in Sanhedrin.
Okay.
Right, Judah?
So,
I'm just trying to keep you occupied so you don't do that thing. I'm going to try to collect some of the medical insurance money. No, I'm not going to. Go ahead.
Okay, so final brothers.
Yeah, just because of the relevant lines. Nigmar, yeah. Okay. Talk about it. Shem Shadin B'Shlosha, Kach Bitzua B'Shlosha. You have it there?
Yeah, and the Gemara too. We got to have Rashi, so you can't do Bishar.
So the Gemara says here, the Gemara doesn't say Hambada Bedin. That's part of the Diyuk and the Rishonim. But it says Nigmar Adin. Yeah, Rashi Levtza. Meaning? So what does it mean basically? We try to push Rishus, Mitzvah, whatever it is. It's good. At least it's a Tova. We try to push a Bishar. What is a Bishar?
Compromise or a settlement.
Settlement or a compromise, right? I'm not sure which. Compromise implies the agreement of the parties. Sometimes it's just, we're not going to operate according to technical din Torah, but we're going to try to figure out, meaning us the Dayanim, we're going to try to figure out the most fair solution. Not the one that makes everybody the happiest necessarily, but the most just solution from our point of view. We'll get back to that point in just a second. But either way, that's the idea of Pshara or Bitsua. And that is an ideal, correct? However, if you've gone too far with the actual Din Torah, Nigmar Adin, Iyata Rashai Livtzor. But the Gemara here does not yet define what Nigmar Adin is.
Rashi says,
Shemaru, Yishplon Yatazakai, Yishplon Yatachayav.
Oh.
And this complicates things, given what we already know.
Okay, but the truth is, where does Rashi get it from? From the bottom of the daf.
Oh, okay.
Right? But you're right, I mean, Rashi Alatar helps us. The bottom of the daf, the Gemara says, Heichadami Gemardin, three lines from the bottom, Omer Rav Yudam Arav, Yishplon Yatachai, Yishplon Yatazakai. Otherwise, the Rishonim would all be asking questions on Rashi, right now, the Gemara. This is where he gets it from. Rashi's looking ahead to the Gemara later on. So the definition when it comes to Pshara of Gemar Din, again, maybe that's different than Hamad the Din, but Gemar Din is Ploni Atazakai, Ploni Atachayev. Now, Ploni Atazakai, Ploni Atachayev is not exactly what, you know, it doesn't exactly align with the two formulations in our daf either, right? Just hold on to that because we're going to need to tell us this in a minute. But our Gemara has Tzeitein Lo, and then the Gemara later on has Chayev Atalitein Lo. Right now we have a third one, really. This is Ploni Atachayev, Ploni Atazakai. Again, just to make it easy, Ploni Atachayev, Ploni Atazakai refers to the status of the Gavra. It refers to guilt and innocence. There's no connection whatsoever to the actual implementation of the din. Right? Chayev Atalitein takes it one step further. Right? It doesn't actually refer to the Gavra so much, but it does already refer to a course of action, Chayev Atalitein, these are your legal obligations. Right? Tzeitein Lo is more concrete, right? Actually, it's a right legal imperative. The judges are telling you, you know, forthwith, discharge your obligations. Okay, so we have three different stages, and they are different in chronologically, sequentially they're different. First comes Ploni Atazakai, Ploni Atachayev, then comes Chayev Atalitein Lo. We're not sure whether they say all three, but in terms of if they would, right, exactly. So Tzeitein Lo would be the last. Okay. So we have two in our Gemara, and we have one in the context of Shara, which is in the middle, in between the two. And that seems to be a question. Now, the truth is that there's a debate in the Gemara here, in the Rishonim here, what exactly is going on. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Nigmar Din. The Pashtus Rashi is right, and that is this is the point about at which, you know, there is no longer Pshara. The next Rashi is a little funny. Osir Livtzoa. Rashi says, Misha Bo Ledin, Osir Leonim Livtzoa. Okay. That's a little funny. But Tosas here is particularly interesting. Did you see Tosas?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, so what's interesting about the Tosas?
I'm not sure.
What?
What's interesting about the Tosas?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's Tosas, it's interesting. But when we when we go beyond that.
I'll pass on that question.
You'll pass on that one?
Yeah.
Okay, Michael?
At the beginning, so he says, defining Nikmar Adin, that's before it's actually said each
one has a five. Yeah. Tosas takes the Gemara one step earlier. And that's not the Pashas HaGemara. Again, maybe that's what the second Rashi was about too. There may be reasons because of the Shakla Vitaria to say that. The whole Moshe and Aaron discussion here. When we learned Sanhedrin some years ago. Anybody hear from Sanhedrin? You were here from Sanhedrin? Okay. So we discussed it then. So, good. So basically, the Tosas is motivated to say that it isn't even Nigmar Adin here. It's the stage before. It's when you know, and the Dayanim know what they're going to say. Okay. Okay. But the Pashtus, it depends on the actual Gemar Din, whatever that is. Okay. Do you have the Tosas there?
Yeah.
Just read it very quickly because it's another point. Here. Go ahead. So this one motivates Tosas partially also is, Tosas says it would be, the problem of Pshara is a problem of Tos. And if I'm going to suggest an alternative solution, so it's got to be one, right, which in which both parties should be interested. Now, if there's a big question mark how this is all going to turn out, then it's everybody's best interest to opt, right, for a more secure and balanced settlement. Right? But if the Dayanim already know where it's headed, and they know that Ploni is going to be Zakai and Ploni is going to be Chayev, that for them to pitch this Pshara to the Ploni to Zakai, right, is misleading. That's Tosis' argument. And that's why Tosis says it doesn't depend technically on Gemar Din. It depends on the point at which the Dayanim know what the result is going to be. And that could be even before anything is pronounced.
Isn't that they know what the result is going to be, or they know what the result is probably going to be?
They know, I mean, that they've had a maso matan, and they know where it's going to be. They pretty much know it. I mean, they know it's going to be.
They know.
What?
Pretty much, or they know?
It seems like they know.
Okay.
I mean, if they pretty much, maybe that's also insufficient. But let's assume that they know. But they, for our purposes, it's enough to say that they know, but they haven't made any formal... They haven't even said Ploni Atachai of Ploni, etc. Okay, go ahead. That's Tosis' question. Tosis says, after all, if there really is a psak din, so what's the havamina? Right? What is the answer, by the way, to that question?
That they don't want the judges to...
I mean, it is a strong question.
They don't want the judges to trick the...
No. Tosis is saying, if Rashi was right, that Pshara depends on the actual psak, or the saying of assume that this is a psak, that's how Tosis is assuming here. Tosis is assuming that Ploni HaTzakai, Ploni HaTachayev is a psak. Right? So he says, if that's true, then this din is obvious. You know, what would the Pshara be? Never mind that we don't opt for Pshara anymore. You can't opt for Pshara because the din is done. It's a done deal. Is there an answer to that question? What would Rashi answer to that question? I'm speculating. I'm just...
Doesn't Tosis try to answer?
What?
Doesn't Tosis try to answer?
Okay, so read the end of Tosis, and then we'll see whether that's... Ubetok ubedochik eshlomar... Okay, that's a dochik answer, Tosa says. We agree. They may that maybe they'll say, listen, there is a psak din here, but you know, there's always malpractice, right? Meaning, what do you mean by malpractice? If the dayanim are toeh, then the din will be chozer, or there'll be compensation. So we're not 100% sure that our psak is correct. That's Tosis' explanation for Rashi. Okay. We'll see if we can do any better in a minute. Miu kishem eschayvin shua. Zelzeh, shari lemeimerlein. Because there's still some advantage there. Okay. Is there any other than the dochik way that Tosis answers? Yeah, Yehuda.
Klil of some sort.
What do you mean by
klil? The claimant, you know, reconsiders and says, you know, I have pity on this guy and I'll, you know,
okay, I don't know if it's mechila so much, but I would take it on slightly different. I would say it slightly differently. Not exactly mechila, but close to it. Yossi?
I think we're going to have the whole discussion about whether the point is din or emes or shalom.
Okay, meaning?
Meaning what are we going for? Are we going to object to legal
results? Oh, exactly. I think it's close to what you were just saying also. Let me just say it, refine it a little more. And that is, in general, as I said before, what is the nature of pshara? So if Pshara is just about, which, and I think you could explain it according to either way, but I think you just have to be precise about it. Pshara is more about Shalom, or Pshara is a different form of Emes. Again, when we learned Sanhedrin a couple years back, we spoke about this a lot. Yikov Adin Sahar, the Din Torah, is always the only and the best, or the best and even the only truth, and anything that is Pshara is a kind of a compromise due to Shalom. Right, that's one approach. So then we would explain that, right, but, you know, people have to live together in society. You know, arbitration is a big science now. Like, it's come back with a vengeance, you know, arbitration in recent years. I think they even teach it in the Smicha program now. Do they teach arbitration or something? Do they expose you to arbitration? So, or the laws of the methods of arbitration?
In some states now, I think arbitration mediation is mandatory for all trials.
As an alternative to...
It's mandatory now. I mean, everyone has to go through a certain number.
Okay. But yeah, it's big. It's become, it's like huge now.
That's a great
it's a burgeoning area of law.
It's a great way to make money while you're a rabbi. You know,
oh, I didn't mean it financially. dispute resolution. It's like a huge area now. Like in the last 10 years, it's an alternative to law in a way, but it's there's also a fight, you know, who controls it, whether it's law schools and you know the legal profession, or whether it really is kind of a competitive field. But it's big now. But the point is that Shalom, there's a value to Shalom, the principle behind, I guess, our different theories also of dispute resolution. But one of the main theories of dispute resolution always has been and continues to be that you don't just look at the dispute, right? You look at the constituent members of society have to continue to live together. So instead of focusing on who is right and who's wrong in this particular case, right, you look at what going forward, what's the best resolution so that we can maintain the social structure. Okay. That doesn't necessarily give you the best justice in the case at all. Okay. That's Shalom. But it could be Shalom in a very specific way. Shalom to square the past, or Shalom to ensure the future. And then there are different theories, even in secular dispute resolution, as I say. So that's one perspective. One could say that that value is worth pitching, even if there's a Yikov HaDin HaSahar solution. And that's not bedochak. That's not, we're the Dayanim, this is our psak, but maybe we got it wrong and there'll be a malpractice case. That's a value in its own right. I think one could certainly say this if you take the other perspective in Pshara, and that is the idea that even though the Torah's system in Yikov HaDin HaSahar is din, and din has a certain great, compelling quality to it. But still, every din, every Yikov HaDin HaSahar system, at least, is built on a low plug principle. Like the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, right? No one will dispute that there can be, even in a din Torah, that there can be individual circumstances in which things will come out in an incongruous way, in a way which is, unhappy. Nonetheless, even a divine system of law, if it's going to be applied objectively across, generations and all geographic locations, etc., is going to have to operate with a low plug mentality and with the low plug, rules. And it's still the most efficient of all systems, all things being equal. But having said that, so then basically what we're acknowledging is that Lu Yitzuyer, we could apply the concepts of din in a manner which focused on a specific case or a specific set of circumstances, then we might be able to fine-tune it even better. Okay, that doesn't mean that the Pshara is better than the din. It's a way of saying that Pshara is a more precise application of din when you don't have to worry about the larger sweep of history and geography, in a nutshell. Okay. Now, this is a view, I think, which some Rishonim adhere to. I think the Riaz definitely holds something like this. And the question, for example, in Pshara, when you talk about Pshara, is are there rules in Pshara? I mean, anything goes that appeases the Bali Dinim and makes peace in society? Or it has to be according to, at least to the principles of the actual Yikov HaDin HaSahar? It's a fascinating question. So that's a debate in the Rishonim. They say the Riaz talks about this, as do others. So if that's the way to look at Pshara, then one could answer, I think, Tosa's question in a different way. Instead of saying, well, sometimes the value of Shalom outdoes Din, what we might say is sometimes a Din based on Pshara is a better Din than a Din based on Lo Plug and Yikov HaDin HaSahar. And therefore, there's something to add, there's added value to Pshara under these conditions as well. Okay. And then that's why the Gemara is telling us. However, it doesn't matter. You've gone too far in this route. You can't pull back after a certain point. There's a certain integrity to the process. Once the Gemara Din has been proclaimed, then the alternative is viewed not as an enhancement, but as a undermining, and that's unacceptable. Okay. I think there's another point as well, and that is that Tosis assumes here that Ploni HaTazakai, Ploni HaTachayev, is the Gemar Din. Right? Which is, I mean, the Gemara says Gemar Din. And basically, since Tosis is saying, listen, I think that the pshat in the Gemara is once you know what the Gemar Din is going to be. But according to Rashi, who really interprets Gemar Din, so Gemar Din is Gemar Din, and once Gemar Din is Gemar Din, it's too late. What if Rashi, or the Imei, already built in to the Gemar Din of Ploni HaTazakai, Ploni HaTachayev, what Tosis is accomplishing by saying, well, we're talking about the step before. Okay, so that would also be an answer to the question. In other words, Ploni HaTachayev, Ploni HaTazakai is only one kind of Gemar Din, or maybe it isn't even Gemar Din at all, it's a pre-Gemar Din. It's a way of saying we know what's going to happen here, but it isn't the formal Psak. So then we'd have what Tosis has, except at a stage later. Yeah.
When I saw Tosis' question, you're interpreting it to be this sort of a pivotal question here with regard to, you know, the status of Gemara and Bishara. I thought you were saying the more technical point, which is who's going to want to do Bishara after he did it passing.
I think you're right. I think it is more than that. Not just who's going. Well, I think the answers answer that question anyway. Maybe
why
who's going to want?
There's
still because living to get dispute resolution is sometimes better than a psak, and because sometimes if you're an idealistic person, so you know, getting more money isn't the point. It's being more in sync with what Din Torah is really about, according to the principle. So I can answer the question. Whatever I said, I stand by. But it could be that I'm a little biased. Reading, maybe I'm reading Tosis in a more conceptual way. But I think that that's what he. Well, the words I don't think prove one or another. Right. It could be that you're just a more pragmatic person, so you read it that way. And I'm a more like ivory tower kind of person, so I read it the other way. But it's an interesting point. Either way, I think both answers apply. Everybody's objecting because they think that I'm not an ivory tower person. But they all agree that you're correct. No, that's true. Go ahead.
Tosis also thought about a practical problem.
Well, Tosis again. Let's not get too far afield. It's 100% right. You're right that there is definitely a strong practical bent in this. I mean, the whole Tosis idea in Tosis is a practical idea.
A practical problem wouldn't simply say that conception is nothing more did. That doesn't necessarily answer the problem anymore. I mean, if the problem is more conceptual,
right?
Why would you make it? Why? What's the point anymore? Isn't the did over? To say that it's not technically over helps something. So if you say it's a practical problem, why would someone agree with a pshara after they know it did it? They know that they're going to win.
Right.
Simply say that technically the part is not over.
Oh, so you agree with me?
My
reading is better because it tells the solution. You're saying because it tells
the solution. Really work.
I hear. Dovi's saying, if I understand correctly, that the solution of Tosis, which is what they come to because of this problem, points more in the direction of this being a legal issue rather than a...
Tosis is saying there's got to be some sort of reason. It's not just that there's another stage to Gemara Din, but that there's an actual thing that might really change practically. So that's what Tosis suggests. Well, maybe
so what if and if you really know what's going to be, but you didn't actually... Well, Tosis is saying we don't even...
That's why Tosis is saying we don't actually know what's going to be.
But Tosis says you do know what's going to be, you just haven't pronounced it.
But they might change their mind. They might have
hit a Tosis. That's what Judah was asking before. It doesn't sound that way in Tosis. It doesn't say, we know, we're pretty sure, but we're not 100% sure. It's more that we haven't pronounced it yet, or he doesn't know it. We know it.
The only thing he knows, the people who bring the case to court, they don't know. And it's for them that it matters whether...
Maybe. You know, it could be. Okay. I don't want to get too bogged down because there's not only Sanhedrin now, but... So basically, this is the way that now, basically, the way Tosis and Sanhedrin reads the Gemara. Let's say it this way: is that Tosis thinks that Ploni HaTachayev, Ploni HaTazakai, Le'inyan Pshara is not just Le'inyan Pshara. Le'inyan definition of Gemar Din is Gemar Din. That's what emerges. Okay. Our Tosis, on the other hand, just give me one more minute. Our Tosis disagrees. Michael, you want to read it since you're in charge of Bava Kamma. Judah's in charge of Sanhedrin. Okay.
So, much more the time of the thing, though, Lohavik Martin. Ashiyom Arkseh Temlo. The Hadam Rabir Thomas Sanhedrin, Nigmar Din, Yitzhar Shadi Tsoa, Mufari Shafi Dam, Nigmar Din, Tony Tazaka, Tony Tazaya, Apo Gabdullah Habig Martin Mamish, Kaban Shay Karab Hizin Ligmor, Asir Lahatos, Zaka.
Oh, so here Tosus seems to be different than Tosus and Sanhedrin. Tosus and Sanhedrin is saying. That's the last point that I made. Tosfos and Sanhedrin is saying Chayiv Toni Atazakei Toni Atachayiv is a Gemar Din, but the Gemar is Lavdafka. When it says Gemar Din, what it means is they know that they're about to pronounce the Gemar Din, or they've come to the conclusion of the Gemar Din. So Tosfos rereads the Gemara in Sanhedrin because Tosfos and Sanhedrin is taking literally the definition of Gemar Din as Ploni Atazakei Ploni Atachayiv. Here, Tosfos Bava Kamma. And Bav Metzia, let's get that in just 1 second. Tosfos and Bava Kamma, Bav Metzia is saying no. Actually, the Gemara should be read like Rashi, that it depends on Gemar Din. But actually, it isn't really. It depends on, I should say, on Ploni Atazakai, Ploni Atachayiv, and the pronouncement of Ploni Atazakai, Ploni Atachayiv. However, that isn't the real Gemar Din. The real issue in Pshara is the stage before Gemar Din, namely Kisha Tayodea already, and it's a question of. Tos. Just 1 more second. That's also Tosus in Bav Metzia. What is the Gemara talking about in Bav Metzia? Again, Judah, you were saying before? Yud Zayin? The Gemara talks about a drachta there, right? Piron?
I didn't read that much.
Didn't see the Gemara there? Ari? Saw the Gemara in Bav Metzia?
I did, yeah.
What's it talking about there?
Talking about where the guy is alone and he claims that he paid it back. Right?
Correct.
They have Seitein or Chayavata pooping there.
What Seitein, the Gemara has, right?
Right, and also Chayavata leaves.
So Adracht Kedrav, we say, Hold the Osel Yod name of Milson, Omer of Yosef Arminyumi. Right? Omerlo Seitein lo, right? Omar Paraiti, Nema. So basically, here the Gemara has the same two. It's not Ploni Atazakai, Ploni Atachayev. And that only appears in Sanhedrin. But the same two is an argument of Bava Kamma. Except the Gemara here doesn't say that they're both Tamad Abedins. That's why our Gemara is the most important Gemara. But the Gemara talks here about the Nemanus Inyan Paraiti. As opposed to, and then the Gemara continuation explains that, right, Bein Seitein lo, Bein Chayva Talitin lo, Omer Paraiti Neman, Va Malva Lichtov Ein Kosa Menosan lo, Eli Ika Bluplugay, Hochi Gudim Pluge. Omer Lot Seitein, Omer Lo Paraiti, Va Edim Beidim Shalo Paro, the Chazav Omer Paraiti, Huxa Kasum Lo Kafra Nosa Mamon, but Chayva Talitin, the Omer Paraiti, Va Edim Beidim Osa Shalo Paro, the Chazav Omer Paraiti, Lo Huxa Kasra Nosa. So it's defined, why Tamish Tamute Kamishtame. The question whether you're huksa kafir or ishtamuta kamishtamed, that depends on seitein lo or chayavata litein lo. That's the Gemara in Bav Metzia. So, and it sounds there like seitein lo is the koveh. If you just had the Gemara in Bav Metzia, you would think seitein lo is the definition of Gemara din. Our Gemara is more complicated because our Gemara seems to have two different dinim. Because for Chazar Karen Lebailim, chayavata litein is still koveh. But Tosin Bav Metzia explains, like our Tosas, right? Hocha mashma. The chayiv atalitein loa b'psak din gamur kim tzeitein lo v'kein mashma b'beruma the kasha the perakamis sanhedrin arminin echadami gemar din ploni atachayiv ploni atazakai yeshom v'dahasam mikri gemar din l'inyan sh'osa livtsoa sheyodeh leichan adin note. So Tosus in Bav Metzia and in Sanhedrin. Wow, that's rare. That's 1 second. Let's give it 1 second. I usually get this, so I'll make sure.
If we get up to them, do it. Also, last year Rebbe had Papa Bo Canada on himself. Last year Rebbe had Papa Bo Canada on his cell phone. Yeah. And he has a new cell phone this year too. Right, you got the call when guys are asking questions.
Okay. So basically, according to Tosas in Bava Kama and Tosas in Bava Metzia, according to both of these Tosasin, what ends up is that Seitain is the Gemar Din, and the Gemars of Chai Vatalitain are not. So we still have to explain what Chazar Kerah and Labailim has to do with anything. As for Sanhedrin, Sanhedrin is pre-Gemar Din because it's based on Leheichan Hadin Note on the question of Tos. But according to Tosas in Sanhedrin, we seem to be left with Ploniat Tazakai, Ploniat Achayiv as being a Gemar Din. And then we would have to explain why it is that when it comes to the issue of Ishtamute Kam Ishtamet, and when it comes to the question of Tzvicho Mechira, that depends on Tseitainlo. Of course, we, at the moment, we'll assume that Chayiv Atalitain and Ploniat Tazakai are the same for the moment. Yeah.
Isn't there still somewhat of a difference in our Tosfos and Bava Kama and Tosfos Bava Metzia in terms of what stage they define Chai Vatalitin as? Because here,
how so?
Apple got the law having margin mamosh, Kim Shakar, but then Ligmar also allowed Tosfos Sakai. He says it's not a margin at all here. But in Bava Metzia, he says the Lubinian Vitsur is literally margin.
Our Tosfos says, Apple got the law having margin mamosh. And what does Tosfos say in Bava Metzia again? What's the language?
I think he makes it sound like it isn't
Mardin,
just only
Mardin. I thought it wasn't. Lo have a psakdin gum, what do you mean? The difference between saying psakdin. So, Hosam Mikri Gmardin Leinian Shasa Lipsoa.
It says Mikri
Gmardin. Maybe. Okay, maybe. Meaning, here he's saying it's not a Gmardin at all, if you want to be precise about it. Our Tosam Babakama. Tosas and Bab Metzia saying it's not a Gmardin Gomor. It's something less than a Gemar Din Gomor, and Tosas in Sanhedrin is saying it's a Gemar Din Gomor. Okay, good. We'll see the other Rishonim also. The range we have anyway, but you're actually right. Yeah.
Even if you, unlike Michael said, even if you group the Tosas together, and they both structurally, both think that the transformation to Zela really doesn't depend on Gemar Din, and that Hayavata is just not Gemar Din. But there's some other interest in Bitsua. In terms of the what exactly is that interest, I think that it's possible to distinguish between Tosos and Mid.
Okay.
The Tosos here sounds like what interests us once we say Chai Vatalitin is that we've identified a Zakai who stands to lose from our doing Pshar. Sort of a problem just in terms of our responsibility to that Zakai.
Lahatos.
Yeah, as opposed to the Tosos in Mitzia,
right.
Who. And even if the formulation, you might say that you know, I'm not sure if you can die with no formulation, but at least there are two different concerns, Misvara, that the other question could be a question of, in terms of the remark, like Gemara and Sanhedrin above, in terms of the one's responsibility, the basis responsibility not to the Zakai, but to MS and Mishpat, etc.
Maybe it's hard to know. The Fisher Dela Hechana Dinote doesn't say more than that.
Well, the Gemara, I'm saying
I wouldn't be Medayik in one way or another.
Yeah, sure. But the Lashon actually comes from the Gemara of Rishim Menasseh. She's just Rishim Menasseh, the Gemara Sanhedrin, who holds that that basing is equivalent to Botseya, as long as there, but doesn't once they know Hechana Dinote.
Right.
So I mean, it seems to be that in terms of the responsibility to Mishpat, that Kolo that they don't have. There's no, you know, they're not.
And that's what I said before. But in other words,
they're not defined any clear.
You've gone too far with Din. It's against the integrity of Din to switch at this point.
I don't know if you've gone too far, but I would say that it's already where it's clear to you already which way it has to be. Then you can't defy that.
It could be that that's true even in the earlier, even if it's pre-stage.
Right. Exactly.
Could be.
But I'm saying those are two different concerns.
Okay. Good. Again, in Tosas itself, I don't think you see it clearly, but right. Yeah.
Rebbe keeps grouping some zero comment together and reading Tosas and now. And Tosas in the first thing he says does say the same thing.
Tosas says that Pshara depends on a pre-stage. But Tosas assumes that it's pre Ploniat Tazakai, Ploniat Tachayev, so he is assuming that Ploniat Tazakai, Ploniat Tachayev is real Gemar Din. In the sense of what Pshara depends on, Tosas and Sanhedrin is the same as the other three, as the other two Tosasin. All three Tosasin are the same Bab Shara. In the sense of how we define Ploniata Zakai, Ploniata Chayiv, that's what Tosas and Sanhedrin is different than Tosas in Bava Kama. And Michael's pointing out that Tosas in Bava Metzia is kind of a little in between, that it's not Gemar Din Gamur, but it's a Gemar Din Le'inyan. Okay. So that's the three that we have. Okay. Now, In addition to this, we also have another makar to look at, and that is the sugya in Sanhedrin Daf Chav Gimel, which we're not going to get into very heavily, but that's a question of kiblo alai karav apostel, where we have bali dvarim. They decide they want to have it in Torah, and again they want to rewrite some of the laws of dayanim and edus. So they're makabel on themselves, dayanim psulim, krovim, edim psulim, edim krovim, kibbol. That's the sugya of kibbolon. Okay, so the Gemara there too says that you can back out of that at a certain point, but if there's either a kinyan or if it's lachar gemar din, then you can't back out. Okay, what is gemar din in that context? Is an issue as well. The Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin has a very controversial formulation where he seems to say that actually the backing out can take place until the bitsua adin, not even the pronouncement of tzei tenlo, but tzei tenlo v'hotzi miyado. That's the Rambam in Perek Zayin. And many of the Nosei Kelim say no, that's not what the Rambam meant. Undoubtedly, the Rambam only meant tzei tenlo. He couldn't really have felt that you can back out after the pronouncement of the Gemar Din of Tzei Tenlo just because you have yet to actually transfer the money. So that's something to consider to be part of the mix as well. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Chaf Beis talks about this Simen Yud Beis. The Shulchan Aruch talks about Pshara. In Simen Chaf Beis, the Shulchan Aruch talks about the case of Kiblo Alai. The Rama, links the two of them together. This is what makes it interesting for our topic. If you look at Simen Chaf Beis, that's the Kiblo Alai Simen. So the Rama says, So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Im kanim yedo azen yachal achzer, im lo kanim yedo yachal achzer ad sheyigmar hadin." And the Rama adds, "Ula el simin yud beis sif beis nisbaer eza mikri gmar din." So if you want to know gmar din, is you have to look back in simin yud beis. What is simin yud beis? Pshara. So what's interesting is that the Rama links what, at least according to the Rambam, is the most extreme in one degree, namely not only Tzei Tenlo, but maybe even Hotzas HaMamon, with, according to the Makaros, what seems to be the other extreme, namely the Gemara that seems to say that even Chai at the earliest stage, Chai of Ploni Atazachai, Ploni Atachai, never mind, Chai of Atalitain, right? This is even stage earlier. According to the Rama, Simen Chav Beis and Simen Yud Beis, the two opposites are Hava Hatalia. Okay. Now, what that Hava Hatalia ends up being actually is a machlokas, a poskim, which we shouldn't be surprised about. Because if you look at Simen Chav Beis through the eyes of Simen Yud Beis, then what should you say that Simen Chav Beis depends on? Ploni Atazakai, according to the Gemara, Ploni Atazakai, Ploni Ata Chayev. And that is the conclusion of the Sma in Simen Chav Beis. Commenting on this Rama, if you look at the Sma, he says, Nizbar is a mikri gemar din, shom nizbar, da'ainu kishomer ploni atazakai ploni atachayiv. Koshken kishomer mo tse tein lo. Tavim vilsa de psika, shechibu. We'll see in a minute. Mashen ken kishomer mchayiv atali tein lo, denirkim istapeg. Okay. We'll get to that explanation in a minute. But according to the Sma, because the Rama linked Simen Yud Beis and Simen Chav Beis, it means that Simen Chav Beis, Kiblo Alai, depends on the words Ploni Atazakai, Ploni Atachai. The Shach went exactly the opposite. The Shach says here in Simen Chav Beis, and he alludes to it in Simen Yud Beis as well, he says, this is all wrong, because of Asma, Da'ainu Kishomer Ploni Atazakai, Ploni Atachayim, he thinks it's wrong. And his conclusion is, based on some Rishonim and so on, his conclusion is that Pshara actually depends on Tzei Tenlo. Okay, two opposite conclusions based on the Rama, the Sma and the Shach. Okay. What other solutions do we have to our problem? So far, the only solutions we have are we have Tosis in Bava Kamma and Bava Metzia, who are basically saying Tzei Tein Lo is Ikar, Chayev Atalitain is either a pre-stage or a lesser Gemardin, depending on what's going to go with Michael's Ha'ara. Tosin Bava Metzia is saying a lesser Gemardin. Tosin Bava Kamma is saying it's nothing at all, it's just a din in. Although Tos doesn't explain what he does with Kazu Karen the violin. What about the other Rishonim? Yeah.
Right, just in terms of what comes up in the Gemara and Shavuos, that laminated a discussion of what Gemara Din is with regard to Amida of Shas Gemara Din.
Okay.
The Gemara also just gives it the same criteria that the Chayavat Alitin.
Gemara that says Chayavat Alitin?
No.
I thought it doesn't say anything.
Later on in the Sugya, it said that Rav Nachman had a problem because
H is Chaver with the goose. That's the goose Gemara.
The goose should fly, and then you would have to stand up and hold the guitar. And they said, "Well, what are you going to do?"
By the way, it's used in Bate Dinam all the time. Go ahead. Yeah.
So the Gemara says, "What are you going to do for the part we have to sit down?" The Gemara did.
Right.
And he says, "Oh, I'll just look like I'm tying my shoe on while I couldn't say plenty of zakah."
The Gemara says plenty of zakah.
That's why that's the Rambam's Makar for using that lashon.
Very good. Okay, good. So that's a good. That's a good hara. So that's in the beginning of Shu'as
Eidos. It seems like it's after. I mean,
so their language is plenty atzakai, plenty atachai.
But it would appear that.
Good. I'm glad about that.
If we're looking at the terms of the rice that is a chiyuv to sit down, that would appear to be very substantive.
Yeah, I'm very happy about it.
And you only had a short time to sit down.
Right.
So each one had to choose carefully which command to use.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I'm happy about it. I'll explain it in a minute. Okay. But good. It goes on the list. Very good. I should call. Okay. So what are the other views of the Rishonim first, and then we'll get to the main punchline. So the Rajba here al Atar in Bava Kamma, and the Rush there in Bava Metzia, Shittim Kibetzes. The Sma and Choshen Mishpat, I just alluded to it, both in Simin Yud Beis and Simin Chaf Beis. Basically, say there's only one Gemar Din. But according to them, it's not like Tosis and Bava Kamma. According to them, there's only one Gemar Din because Ploni Atachai, Ploni Atazakai, and Tzei Tein Lo are one and the same. Okay, now, how that'll help with the Goose Gemara, you know, do you have to stand up for both, or is it one or the other? I don't know. But I haven't fully thought through the Goose implications yet. But I gotta thank you for bringing it to my attention. But the view of the Rajba and the Rush and the Sma is that Ploni Atachayev, Ploni Atazakai, and Tzei Tein Lo are the same. They're to be contrasted. What do you do with our Gemara and the Gemara in Bava Metzia? The answer is those Gemaras aren't talking about either, say, those Gemaras aren't talking about Ploni Atazakai, Ploni Atachayev. They're talking about the middle formulation, the more ambiguous one, Chayev Ata Lite. And these Rishonim hold, these Rishonim and Poskim hold.
You said
Ploni Atazakai,
Ploni Atachayev is the same.
Ploni Atazakai, Ploni Atachayev is the same as Tzei Tein Lo.
How is
Chayev
Liten Lo the middle position?
Yeah.
So how is
Chayev
Liten Lo the middle
position? Let me explain. Chayev Liten is chronologically the middle position.
Oh.
But what they're saying is that the problem with Chayev Liten is that it is too ambiguous. That if you focus, what they presumably mean is that if you focus on either guilt and innocence or on implementing the actual din, then that is a decisive psak. But when you say Chayev Atalitein, they think that implies some sort of subject. Everybody have the language of the Rajba here in Bava Kamma?
The Rajba says that Chayev Atalitein is just not the same thing as Yitva Zakai, Atazakai
Batachayev. Yeah, exactly.
But does he say that Atazakai Batachayev is the same as Tzei Tein Lo, or that they're in three different...
Well, he's trying to solve this problem.
He didn't say that.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I think if he doesn't say it, it's implied strongly.
This is the Yishlomar, the Chilik Yishbeinish Ploni Atachayev, Atachayev Atalitein Lo.
Right.
That's it. So you would just say
Okay, I think the Russian Bava Metzia does. Maybe I'm reading one line or the other. And the Sma certainly does. The Sma says it's
the same.
Then
you would say, each one you have to Zakai is the same as Satan.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah,
that's what it seems like you're saying.
Thank you. Okay, good. Now, again, according to them, the real one then is Ploni HaTzakai, Ploni HaTachai. That's the early one. That's the real one. Okay. Basically, the Tzeitain is to be Mamai, the Chayiv HaTalitain always. Okay. So, if that's the case, because they're trying to square Sanhedrin. Right. If you're trying to square Sanhedrin with Bava Kamma, then you have to say that Tzeitain is equivalent of Ploni HaTzakai, and that both of them are contrasted with Chayiv HaTalitain. Okay. So that's the view of the Sma, as I mentioned. The Sma says it just sounds too wishy-washy when you say Chayiv HaTalitain. Now the Shach doesn't like that at all. The Shach doesn't think it's wishy-washy. Yeah.
If say the Tain is Paschul of Ilfa and Ploni HaTzakai, Ploni HaTachai is not, how can they be the same?
No, Ploni HaTzakai, Ploni HaTachai.
It's only the Beitin's.
No, Paskud in our Gemara Bava Kamma is contrasting Tzeitain and Chayiv HaTalitain.
No, I understand, but the Rashba's formulation is that Ploni HaTzakai and Tzeitain are synonymous.
Ploni HaTzakai and Tzeitain are synonymous.
Exactly. So Ploni HaTzakai is just what the Beit Din has held together and figured out, but hasn't come out with it.
No, they've come out with it.
They have come out.
Absolutely. Only Tosa says that in Shara they haven't come out with it.
Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking about a different system here. Bali Tosis wanted to answer the question differently, so they said the whole Sugya Sanhedrin is a pre-stage. But we're not saying that. The Rajba is assuming that it's a Gemar Din. They've said it. But the question is, how come there it says Tzeitain and here it says Tzeitain, there it says Ploni HaTzakai? The answer is that's the same thing. It's just the contrast is to Chayiv HaTalitain. Look at what Rishon was saying. Look at the language
he'll say. Then would the Rajba have to say that Ploni HaTzakai, Ploni HaTzakai also implies some sort of sentence?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that Ploni HaTzakai, Ploni HaTachai is really koveya for these dinim. Just not Chayiv HaTalitain, etc. Chayiv HaTalitain sounds like it's tentative. That's how they're explaining it. Now, the Shach, as I say, also thinks that it's one and the same, but the Shach just says every time the Gemara says Ploni HaTzakai, Ploni HaTachai, it means Tzeitain. Basically, it's the same approach to the Makoros with the opposite conclusion. The Shach is saying even Pshara, according to the Shach, depends on Tzeitain. And the Sma is saying, even Kiblu Alai is dependent upon Ploni HaTzakai. Fine. Okay. On the other hand, we have Tosas Bava Kamma, as we say, which is that there's only one Gemar Din, and there are three different, or at least two different stages, and it's Tzeitain. So Sanhedrin, we know what they do with. They say that's just one more second. Just give me 1 minute, I'll take your question in a minute. The Pshara, they say, is a pre-stage because of Tos, as we discussed. What about Chazor Karen Labailin? So apparently, according to Tos and Bava Kamma, although he doesn't spell it out, that also doesn't depend on Gemar Din. Right? Chazor Karen Labailin is a pre-stage too. What's it based on? Very simple. Well, light of the Rosh Hashanah, it's not hard to explain. Whatever Chazor Karen Labailin is about, remember the Rosh Hashanah said, well, maybe we should draw the line earlier at the Zman Shabo Eidim. And Rashi said the line Bo Eidim, as you pointed out, right? What? So the point is, maybe whatever Chazor Karen Labailin is about, whether it's kind of a Modemic what?
It works well with that, because he takes it back. You didn't give it back.
Exactly. So the point is that it's too late already. Once you're at a point, you've gone as far in the Din Torah as we know where things stand, so then he hasn't usurped really the Beis Din system. It is a Mimatzeh Yimatzeh Biyadim. That doesn't need Gemar Din. According to the Rosh Hashanah, maybe it would have depended on Eidim, so we don't go that far. We say it's more than Eidim. It's at a point where Chayiv HaTalitain. But that isn't the Gemar Din. Because of Karen Labailin doesn't depend on Gemar Din. So the whole Rosh Hashanah discussion really highlights how Tosas and Bava Kamma can really handle this question. And even if you reject the Rosh Hashanah and we say no, Bo Eidim, there's still Chazor Karen Labailin. Chayiv HaTalitain, there isn't. So fine, we're drawing the line in a different place. Okay. The Yad Ramah and the Sanhedrin, in Sanhedrin, and the Ritva also in Bamitzia Yud Zayin, and the Raivid here in Bava Kamma, take the position that Gemar Din is Ploni HaTachayiv, actually, the opposite of Tosas, not Tzeitain, The real Gemara din is Chayav Atalitein, or Plonia Techayav, Plonia Techzakai, really. Let's assume. And that's Koveya for Pshara, because Pshara depends on Gemara din. That is also Koveya for Chazra Karen Lebailim, because that depends on Gemara din. Exact opposite of what we just said. Aye, how come Tzvicho Mechira and Ishtamute Kam Ishtame depend on Seiteinlo? That becomes the question. So the answer is, those halachos, for whatever reason, depend on smichos das. Like we said when we said it earlier, we said there are three possibilities, right? There are two gemar dins, which needs to be explained, or there's an early gemar din, but some halachos don't depend on gemar din, they depend on later. What's the later? When the object, right, when the disposition of the object is something that the Toveya can already rely upon. That's the issue. Smichus das. Nothing to do, it's not a formal status at all. What does that do with Tzvicha Mechira? That's when it becomes a Bikado. The Tzvicha Mechira to end, to terminate, and for the next step, the Tzvicha Mechira post to be considered a Gzela rather than a continuation of the Geneva, for that you require a status of pikadon. Not simply that there was a psak din rendered, but that the chefetz should be considered so secure that it's a pikadon biad hagazla. When Dazin says to him, not only atachayev or atazakai, which is the gemar din, right? It's the gemar din, fine, but still, the chefetz is still outstanding and hasn't been returned. But when they say tseitenbo, that's when the Nigzal feels enough confidence that the Chavetz turns into a Pikadon. Once it's a Pikadon, it's not a Chavetz, a Gazal anymore. No more Chiyav Da'aveh. Yeah. Oh, you know what? First, Michael had a question first, then I'll ask.
According to the view of the Rosh Bar Rosh and Sma, what exactly is the purpose of Chayav Atali Tehmo?
What do you mean the purpose?
If it just creates some ambiguity.
I don't know if there really is. I mean, again, I guess it's a pre. It helps you for Chazar Karen Labailim. I guess it tells us where you know where the Dayanim are going, in that respect. It doesn't really have any other. And the only Gemara that ever says Chazar Karen. I'm sorry, that only says that Chayav Talita Lo is effective, is our Gemara Bava Kama regarding Chazar Karen Labailim. So for that, the fact that it's ambiguous and it isn't technically a formal psak din is less important than it's better than Bo Edim of the Rashash, but maybe it's like Bo Edim of the Rashash. Just, you know, one step later, that's all. But it's still short of a Gemar din. That's the only thing it works for. Yeah.
Yeah, you're saying the Smichas Das in the Rabbi, he's talking about the Toveya.
Yeah, and I think there are different formulations.
Yeah, it sounds like some of the nitva, the nitva, meaning the guy who has to give the chitz up. So I'm eyeing the dina, the dime does geneva rishana.
No, it could be. I think there are different formulations.
The Gemara is clearly relevant. It's all relevant.
Right. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter.
But this could make a difference in terms of the idea being that this becomes more confrontational, and therefore maybe more transformation. It is more susceptible to being transformed to a zela when he's not defying an explicit imperative, rather than when he's just sort of, you know, thinking maybe I can totally write it, or maybe I'm not.
Well, in terms of Ishtamute, certainly.
Right, I'm saying maybe that would be
because of Zela,
because for the character of Zela, it needs to be more confrontational.
Maybe. I mean, that would be considered continued Zela.
No.
I mean, Zela rather than Gneva, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe, okay. There are different formulations. I'm not wedded to one more than the other. You have to. I'm more important. My focus at the moment is that according to this group of Rishonim, basically, Seitein is not a Gemar Din. Seitein is a phase after Gemar Din, which affects Smichus Das and other such matters. The exact way that it does, I agree, there can be different ways. Okay, so that is the that's the Ramah and the Ritva also, as I mentioned. The Ravid here speaks about transferring Pikadon for in his way as well. Okay. Tosu Ben Peretz, I think works out. Tosfos Ben Peretz and Sugya of Tznuin asks the question: why is there a problem with Tznuin at all? After all, let the chavetz turn into a pikadon. If it's a pikadon, yachal agdisho. So Tosfos Ben Peretz says, well, without smichus das, it's not going to be a pikadon. So this works very nicely with this idea that say Kainlo is the point of transition. That is what brings about the smichus das. Okay. If this is true, namely that there are some halachos that don't depend on Gemar Din at all, that they depend on a post-Gemar Din status, then of course we can also appreciate better the Rambam, if we take the Rambam literally. Namely, the Rambam says that when it comes to Kivlu Alai, right, which is also about Das and so on, so that depends also on post-Gemar Din. Gemar Din isn't the termination of that either. Maybe actual, not even the Tzivui L'Bitzua Din, but actual Bitzua Din is Koveya there. I'll finish in one more minute. Okay. So it turns out that we have all the perspectives. We have the perspective of there being one Gemar Din, and the question is, which is that? One Gemar Din, and all the Gemaras are the same, with the exception of Chazakar and Labailin, or one Gemar Din, and the earlier issues aren't Gemar Din at all, including Bshara, or one Gemar Din, and there are certain dinim that go post Gemar Din later. Okay. I think a much more attractive solution is to say that the evidence points to there being more than one concept of Gemar Din, which Michael is suggesting even Tosfos Bava Metzi already holds. And I think this would work very well for Tosfos and Sanhedrin. Because remember, Tosfos and Sanhedrin seems happy that Ploni Atachai, Ploni Atazakai is Gemar Din, Linyan Pshara. That's why he makes it a step before, right? So what's he going to do with our Gemara that say Tainlo is Gemar Din? Again, he could interpret like we just said, according to the other Rishonim, the Ramah, Ritva, Raibit, and so on. But it could be that there are two dinim of Gemar Din, and this is the thought that I want to develop. But Lamar, I guess we'll finish with this on Thursday. And that is as follows. There are two or maybe even three Gemar Dins, but especially two, because there really are two different components in every Din Torah. Right. One is relating to the Gavra. There are really, let's say, three components in every Din Torah. This will help us a little bit with Ephraim's Horios issue. You'll check around. We gave some Horios for our commas, just in case we have a chance. So there are basically three elements. One is the theoretical Din. Given the facts at hand, what is the psak halacha in theory, conceptually, in a certain case? Okay, that's one. Secondly, there's the gavra, right? Ploni atazakai, ploni atachayev relates also to the gavra, the actual protagonists in the case. And then, of course, there is the bitzua din, the psak din, as it relates to the concrete, not only situation, not only the concrete people, but the chefza shel mamon. Okay, let's just focus on two of these three for the moment. The truth is that we have three stages in the three formulations. Ploni atazakai relating to the gavra. Chayiv atalitein tells the gavra, what he has to do, but falls short of actually commanding him, to do it now. And seitein lo relates already to the disposition of the mamon. So is it possible that this will explain the conflicting evidence? In the case of Pshara, right, the focus is on the Bali Dinim. It's on guilt and innocence. Until you have a pronouncement by Bezdin, according to these Rishonim, until, forget Tosis for the moment, until you have a pronouncement of Ploni Atazakai, Ploni Atachayim, the Din Torah is still an open Din Torah. And as such, it's nitan l'pshara. The second that there's guilt and innocence established, even begabra, even if you haven't reached the point of disposing with the actual psak relating to the chafsa shel mamon, right, but that already precludes the pshara. Say tainlo is necessary whenever you're relating to the chafsa shel mamon. So, in particular, let's take our Gemara. Right, our Gemara is interested in a transformation from a cheftza shel gneva, in which there can continue to be tvichul mechira, right, as opposed to a new pikadon, And a new act, which would then obviously not be a gneva, but would be a gezela. So that doesn't relate to guilt and innocence, begavra, or the theoretical, you know, conclusion based on theoretical facts, a hechatimtzi, what would be a din Torah. Certainly doesn't relate on the last, it doesn't even relate on the first. The issue is, has this been transformed into a bikkurim? That's exactly the language of the Gemara here as well. The Gemara says, paskua lemilsei, kivin de paskua lemilsei, meaning, and Rashi explains, I mean, the Rishonim explain, not Rashi so much, that it becomes a pikadon. Wherever the chefetz shel mamon has to achieve a new status, it's always tzei teva. But wherever we're interested in the theoretical psak, particularly, even more concretely, the status of the gavras, is he guilty, is he innocent, that depends on the psak. So chazra keren lebailim also is a question whether or not the din Torah has run its course. Has he preempted has he preempted tashlumin because he got the money back on his own before the din Torah or not? Now, we don't care about the actual chepetz itself here. We just want to know whether you've preempted the process. So chazra keren lebailim depends on chayva talite. Maybe even ploni atazakai for making three chilukim. But certainly chayva talite. Chayva talite means it's tashlumin. If you want to say that, three dinim. The gavra, the chiyuv, and then a transformation of the status of the chefetz shel mamon. It's almost like it's become protected by bezdin. So I would say at minimum, chayva talite is what's koveya for chazer keren lebailim. We just want to know, is this preempting tashlumin, or there already is a chiyuv of tashlumin? Maybe even ploniat hachayiv. Certainly pshara would work that way. If that's the case, then we can understand perhaps several other chilukim that the Rishonim make as well. Okay, we're going to stop here. Just reinforce this a little bit next time with some of the other chilukim that the Rishonim make alatar, and then I want to speak a little bit about that sugya in the beginning of Parios. With the Makaris idea, but just very, very quickly, and then we're going to move on to that ayin on Thursday as well. Yeah.
Rabbi also discussed the chayim at end of stencils, and talks about the Rambam
and maybe it's talking about it already. I'm not sure. The morning stencils, I mean about two types of smartin, about basamakan.
Yeah,
I hope no. Yeah, that's the Rambam I took a look at.